motion as tonight, as I promised, I'll be trying to deal with the motion of depression. Now, someone said that I preached on anger, and they found out they was angry. And then I preached on anxiety, and they figured they were anxious also. So I hope, though, after tonight, you don't leave depressed. Because that could be fatal. I'm going to read from 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, and I'm going to read about a man, a great, great prophet of the Lord. One that appeared with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, on the Mount of Transfiguration. You would not think of me that such a man as this would ever have a problem with being mentally depressed. We're going to begin in chapter 19 of 1 Kings with verse number 1 and read down through verse 18. It says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal had he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servants there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. As he lay and slept under the juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. He looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. He did eat and drink, and laid him down again. The angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. He arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mouth of God. He came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, slain thy prophets with a sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. Behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle, went out and stood in the entering of a cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altar, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." Looks like he had that memorized. "And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it came to pass that him that escaped the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay. Him that escaped from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto them, and every mouth which have not kissed them." So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12, and Elijah passed by and cast his mantle upon him. I'll stop here. Now, my subject is one of the most common things that exist in our society today. I don't think any person, even children, are exempt. Depression is the overwhelming sense of dejection and despair. And it comes to every one of us. Now, our days are parts of days that we get in a state when we want to just say, "What's the use?" And we want to give up. People in every walk of a life experience this. Children in school. Not long ago, Denise and Linda helped some of the foreign exchange students. And some of them told about how they are pressured in other countries on their education, to the point that they despise and even take their lives rather than face it. These are the kind of things, experiences. These children in schools, sometimes we don't know as teachers, as I was a teacher for years, we don't know what they're going through. We don't know what's at home. We don't know what they're experiencing. But they get depressed to the point of even taking their own life. Adults at work or at home. Time won't permit to deal with all of this. But what I want to deal with tonight is concerning us as Christian people. Depression should not happen to a Christian.
does. We are supposed to be a people that are happy and contented in life because we have a Savior.
Amen.
We have one that has promised to take care of us, to lift us up, to watch over us, and promise that He would never leave us nor forsake us. Yet, we do not have the joy and peace in our life with the things that come through us as we should. But as long as we live in this human flesh, we will suffer from these things just like everyone else. But we have someone that we can turn to in these times when it does come. Other people in the world, those that are not Christians, those that have not God to turn to, are burdened down with sin. And they are burdened down with problems of life. And if anything, at a time like this, that they don't want to see is someone like a Christian that's supposed to be different in the same shape that they're in. They need someone to look up to. They need someone to see and say, well, maybe there's hope for me. They don't need more of what they already have. People often think that depression only comes to those that have mental problems or those that experience extremely stressful situations. But it happens to all people of all walks of life.
Amen.
No matter if they're rich or poor, educated or ignorant, it's still going to come. It happens to Christians as well as others, even to those that walk close to God. As we saw Elijah in the scripture that we read.
Yeah.
Here in our text, God gives us an example of this great man going through depression. Challenged. Elijah had challenged the prophets of Baal to show whose God was God. You would think that a man like this would never be depressed. But depression can hit anyone at any time and will, unless we keep certain things in our life in balance and a proper perspective of life before us. Now, I read some about Elijah here in our beginning. But I want to go back and just tell you some things. Not read more, just tell you some things. Prior to the scripture that I read here, God said to Elijah, He said, tell Ahab. That was the king of Israel. Now you remember that Israel was the northern kingdom that split off from the two tribes in the south, Judah and Benjamin. Jeroboam was the first king of these northern ten tribes. He led them into a false worship of the god of Baal. And every king after Jeroboam, it said about them that they sinned the sin of Jeroboam. They carried on this false worship. But when it got down to Ahab, it said that he was the worst of all of them. Worse than Jeroboam and all the rest. And not only that, he had a wife that was named Jezebel that was even worse than he was. So you see what kind of situation existed here. So God said to Elijah, I want you to tell Ahab that it's not going to rain these years except as I tell you. Now, according to Luke chapter 4, and I believe it's verse 25, it said that it went 3.5 years without rain. Now, we gripe about the rain. But what if we had to go 3.5 years without any water? In fact, it was so bad that God told Elijah, go to the brook Cherith, and I will send the ravens there to feed you. Go where the water is, and I'll supply you with the food. Then the brook dried up. And God said to Elijah, go to Zarephath, and I will command a widow woman to sustain you. Elijah went, very obedient to God, as he said. And he asked this widow woman for a vessel of water to drink, and then a morsel of bread to eat. This widow replied, she had only a handful of meal and a little bit of oil. And she said, I'm going to cook this for my son. And we're going to eat it and then die. That's how bad it was. Starving to death from this family. Elijah said to her, first, before you do that, you fix me a portion of bread, and the meal barrel will not get empty. She did as he said, and the meal lasted. Not only for that day, but for many days. Then the widow's son got sick and died. And this widow said to Elijah, said, have you called to remembrance my sins and have slain my son because of this? Elijah brought her son back to life. Then God sent him again to Ahab. He told Ahab, he said, gather all the prophets. I believe 400 and maybe 450 prophets of Baal. And he met with them on Mount Carmel. And he challenged these prophets in front of all the people to see whose God was God. And here's what he told them to do. He said, you kill an ox. Put it on the altar. And you pray to your God and see if your God can consume this sacrifice with fire. Those 450 priests began to pray to their God. Elijah got a little bit cocky. He said, hey, why don't you pray a little louder? Maybe you should sleep. Or he may be out, he's busy somewhere. He's doing something else. Tempting them. And you can see the results. They took knives and spears and ripped the flesh on their body until the blood gushed out, praying to their God to come down and consume the sacrifice.
So Elijah took another oxen. He dressed it, got it ready for sacrifice, put it on the altar, had him to dig a ditch, deep ditch around the altar. Had him to take four barrels and get water and pour in. Keep doing it until the ditch was full. The sacrifice was wet, soaked. The altar was soaked with water. The ditches were full of water around. Elijah called upon Jehovah Elohim, the God of Israel. Fire come down and consume the sacrifice, burn up the altar, and dried up all the water. Elijah challenged these people. Now choose you today. How long halt between two opinions? If God be God, serve Him. If Baal be God, then serve Him. But He proved that God, Jehovah, Elohim of Israel, was God.
Amen.
And then He commanded that they kill the 450 prophets of Baal, and they did. And then He went up on the hill with His servant and said, "Look and see if there's any clouds."
Servant came back, nothing. He said, "Go again." Well, this time there was a cloud about the size of a hand. But before he could get back, the clouds rolled in. And he told Jezebel, "I told Ahab, you better get gone to Jezreel where you live before the flood comes." And Elijah ran all the way from Mount Carmel to Jezreel, keeping up with Ahab in his chariot, believing, I think, in his mind, that after all this, sure, Ahab and Jezebel would turn to God. But when Ahab told Jezebel what had happened, Jezebel wrote a note to Elijah and basically said, "I'm going to have your head." And this great man, with all that he had gone through, he had seen God send ravens to feed him. He had seen God feed the meal bag of the widow. He had seen God bring back life to the child. He had seen God send down fire from heaven. And he had seen God send rain at his request. You would think someone like this would never get down in the dust and be depressed. But as soon as what Elijah had expected and wanted didn't happen, he received a note from Jezebel. He got scared.
that he read. Now, I want to bring you some things about this. I want to try to bring the cause of depression that so often comes upon us. One of the first things that I want to mention is frustration. Frustration over not being able to accomplish what you want to accomplish. In verse 1, it says, Ahab told Jezebel all that happened. And instead of Jezebel being converted and Ahab getting right with God, they got worse. Now, folks, sometimes when you set out to accomplish things, no matter how hard you try, things get worse. Mm-hmm. One fellow said, cheer up, it could be worse. And I said, I cheered up, sure enough, it got worse. It will do it sometimes. Elijah must have thought that since God had shown these people what he showed them, that they surely would have believed that he was the true God and not Baal. When they did, Elijah got that. When we set out to accomplish something and it don't turn out the way we want, we then try it again. It still don't turn out the way we want it to, and finally, we start getting there. If Elijah could have just said, Lord, I am your servant. I have done what you said. Now, I am confident you can accomplish your purpose, whatever it is. If he had just done that, he wouldn't have gone through all of this. You see, no matter how hard we try, God may not want to happen. James said, don't say we're going into this city or that city tomorrow, today, and do thus and so. You don't know what's going to be going on. We need to say, if the Lord will. We need to look at, Lord, I've done what I'm supposed to do. I've done what you have instructed me. I leave it to you.
That's right. Amen.
That's not easy to do, is it? When we don't accomplish what we want, though, so many times we lose sight of what God does through us. The second thing, I'm not saying that these come in this order. I'm saying this is what happened to the last. Frustration, then fear. Fear will cause us to react in ways that are not normal. What happened, what's going to happen to me financially in hard economic times that we're going through now? That can hurt. What about my family? What am I going to do about the lifestyle that we are used to living? When I get old, will there be anyone to take care of and help? These things come into the minds of people and create fear. And rightfully so, if we don't have the faith that God has said He will take care of us. When this prophet of God that has experienced these glorious events, things didn't happen as he thought they should, he got a message from Jezebel, disengaged. having them killed, and then we spread them on. Maybe right if so, I don't know. They get pretty mad at times. If Elijah had accomplished what he wanted, he would have been ready to conquer the world. But since he didn't, he got scared. He didn't realize that God's plans are not like our plans, nor his ways like our ways.
That's right.
Just because things do not turn out the way we want doesn't mean that God's plan is not working.
Amen.
It's still working. Paul said in Romans chapter 3 and verse 3, "For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect?" Of course not. What we do will not interfere with God's plan.
Amen.
If we cannot accept the fact that God is in control, then we will see our failures in life and be gripped with fear.
Mm-hmm.
That will lead us to depression.
Right.
Then, the third thing is fatigue. Being tired. Weariness. Many times, depression will come after some great experience. If you played in sports, and you had the privilege of winning, and you had great experience, and you've won, and you've been lifted up, and you've been cheered on, and then when it's over, you drop the ball. I have to fight against a downward trend for a Bible college. I get lifted up. And if we're not careful, when we get lifted up, we don't have one way to go. And that's bad. We have to be able to control the downward trend also. People live with great expectations. When it's over, it's a big letdown. Remember, Elijah had run all the way from Jezreel, and he was physically tired. He had been under great emotional strain because of what he had been through. Then he runs this great distance, and it wears him out physically. We can rest from one of the conditions, but when we have both, physical and mental, emotions are tired, then we come to rest. A great preacher that I love to read after, Charles Spurgeon, probably one of the greatest preachers since the apostolic day. But Charles Spurgeon spoke the pipe. He smoked the pipe for a particular reason. To keep down his weight. Because the pipe curved his outback. Now you say, well, he could have found other ways. Yes, he could. As great as he was, he had his weaknesses. But he smoked this pipe. And one day, on the streets, I believe, of London, he saw a tobacco can. It says the tobacco that Spurgeon smokes. He pulled his pipe and his tobacco out of his pocket and threw it in the garbage. And said, "I can no longer smoke to the honor of the Lord God." He developed gout and suffered much pain. Went through tremendous states of depression. Though he preached to thousands every time, I believe it's around some 12,000 on Sunday morning. The devil still got two of them in his weeds. The next is failure. Frustration, fear, fatigue, and failure. That's four L's, maybe you can remember. Elijah had gone through all this, challenged false religion, had power with God, destroyed false prophets, found out that Jezebel and Ahab was not going to change. Elijah thought he had failed. He could not get the leaders of this nation to change. He felt that he had failed God. When we do not reach the goals that we want to reach, or we don't measure up to our expectations, then a down trend goes in faith. At this time, the devil steps in and delights in your condition. There's nothing that pleases him more than to see you fall in faith in your mind. He can't get your soul, but your emotions are fertile grounds for him to tempt and influence. Do not compare what you are. This is a bad thing that most people do. Don't compare what you are with what someone else has done. But say as Paul, by the grace of God, I am.
Amen.
Then comes unbelief. Can a Christian have unbelief?
Yes.
Yes, they can. If you have ever believed that Jesus is your Savior, you'll never lose that. The faith that God gives, you will not lose.
Amen.
But people doubt the promises. They did before they came to the promised land. Instead of having faith in God, we start thinking about our circumstances. Just like the Israelites. Elijah had forgotten what had happened at Mount and started looking at what Jezebel was going to do to him. He didn't believe that the God that had sent down fire from heaven could protect him from this wicked woman. The same thing happens in our life. We believe that God can and has saved our souls. But we doubt whether or not he can care for us. Now look at the results of this depression. We have looked at the cause. Now how does it affect us? Look at another great man of God, King David. Do you remember Brother Joe Maldonado's sermon?
Amen.
Here, Brother Jerry thought it was one of the greatest. I really liked it. Because he told about the heart of David. But David, being even the man after God's own heart, also had his weaknesses. In Psalm 42 and verse 3, we find David in a state of depression, and notice how it affected him. He said, "My tears have been my meat, my food." What's he saying there? My tears is my food. He's living off of his tears. He was sick and lost his appetite for food. And the only thing he wanted to do was weep. Weep the tears. He said, while they say continually unto me, where is thy God? My enemies are around me saying to me, where is your God? And he couldn't show it. So he began to experience doubt. He knows God is there, but they keep on injecting doubt into his mind. Why don't your God do something for you? Why don't he get you out of it? He said, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. Sometimes the worst thing that we can do when we're in this state, now listen, I don't want you to misunderstand. Sometimes the worst thing we can do is pray. You say, well, preacher, I thought you both prayed about everything. You ought. But here's what I mean. What I'm saying is that sometimes when you pray, you wallow in your own pity.
Amen.
Before God. That's not my pity. He goes on to say here that he went to the house of God to worship. David did. But he feels downtrodden, abnormal, downcast. Then finally in verse 9 he is saying, where is my God? Sometimes people get to the point they're not even sure of their own God. I think that is what Elijah was doing, is feeling self-pity. When the Lord came to him and said, Elijah, what are you doing here? Elijah said, I have been very jealous for the Lord, and I am the only one that is left. And they're seeking my life. Oh, poor old wife. I feel the same way. Or worse, because I was in his position. When we get depressed, our carnal nature takes over. And we say, poor old me. We build a defense wall around us with self-pity. And have a desire. I'm no desire to break it down. But Paul Bowden told me one time, I think I called him on the phone, he said something about he was having a pity party.
Amen.
I think we have lots of
them.
Yes. A lot of us do. Elijah had run away, gotten under the juniper tree, and wanted to die. So, Lord, just take my life. Get me out of this. He said, I've had it. Nothing that I have tried has worked out like I want it to. So Lord, just take me out of this world. Jonah was the same way after he had preached. And then he got out on the hillside watching. He wanted God to destroy them. But he said, Lord, I knew you wouldn't do it. I knew you'd be merciful to it. And he lay down under the Lord's back. Wanted that. But you know something? I think I found it out from experience. I think I've learned it from God's Word. That God is not impressed with our self-pity.
Right.
Because things don't work out like we want. That doesn't impress him. Now, let us look at some steps of deliverance. You thought it would go to use.
I hope you would.
How can we overcome this situation? Now, this time, Elijah had gone a great distance. He was hungry. He was tired. He was depressed beyond measure. When he got under the juniper tree, this was the first time since Mount Carmel that he was not depending upon himself. All the time after he dealt with Mount Carmel, all the time before that, he depended on God. But when he left Mount Carmel and went to Jezreel, wanted to see Ahab and Jezebel on their knees, worshiping the true God. On through what he went through, all the time he was depending on the light. But now, under the juniper tree, God sent an angel to feed. Remember, the Lord said, I will never leave thee. He showed Elijah this. And from what God said to Elijah, we see the first step that we need to take when we're under these type of emotions. Is do something.
Mm-hmm.
Do something. Elijah finally stopped in a cave, and God said, Elijah, return. For there are some things I still want you to do. Your work is not over. When depression begins on you, the best thing you can do is get yourself in action under the supervision of God.
Amen.
Say, Lord, what do you have me to do? Remember that depression does not come because of circumstances. It comes because of attitude. What is our attitude toward our Christian life? It should be that God will work things out according to His will. Therefore, what I need to do is what He asked me to do and leave the rest of Him. The Apostle Paul said, I keep my own body under subjection. In fact, when you go back to the Greek language, Paul is saying, I beat my body. It's like beating it with a stick. Whipping it. Bringing it under subjection, he said. That what I preach to others, I myself will not become cast away. Whatever talents, listen to this. Whatever talents God has given you, use them the best you can.
Amen.
I thought about Little Larry here singing. And I appreciate it all the number of times. And Sean and others that have come up here and sing. God has given you talent. Do you use it? And I thought about when he was singing this song. He said, I have that. He said, I've got it back in my memory, but I don't want it to come out. And about that time, I looked back and saw Brianna. And I was going to say, well, there, your helper is not up here. So you may not remember. And then I thought about back when I was so young that I can't even remember. But my folks told me about it. But when they go somewhere, and music was playing, somebody was singing, or somebody was playing, if they paused, I would yodel. I can't even yodel. But they said I couldn't then. I was less than 4 years old because I can remember from since I was four. I don't remember it. But I go to a place, they'd be having a band on the stage, and they'd pause, I'd start yodeling. That's not one of my talents. Neither is singing. But we need to know our talents and use them. sell yourself short and think that you are faith. And don't compare yourselves to others. Oh, that person can sing better than I can. That person can preach. I made a statement one time years ago. I said, there's a lot of men can preach better than I can. But there's one thing about it. They can't preach about the better Jesus.
Amen.
If God's called me to preach, I want to preach. Only use your abilities where God has placed you to live and to work and to do. Remember, He won't leave you. He won't forsake you. And if you will apply your abilities, trusting Him, He'll bring you out of any emotional or physical situation that you might be in. Thank you for your attention. Any questions or comments? All right. We're going to stand and have a word of prayer. Be dismissed from our first service. And then do this and stretch this moment. And then we'll come for the Lord for our business meeting. So as we go to the Lord in prayer, Brother Jeff, would you lead us in prayer?
Most gracious Almighty Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for saving us. Amen. Lord, thank you for being blessed and spoke on each and every one of us, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, we also thank you for the worship services we've had this morning and this evening.
Yes.
Amen. That we use the words that have been preached today to be beneficial for me and bless Jesus Christ and everything we do, Lord.
Amen.
For big people upon the prayer request, Lord, give them a healing grace and only that can, Lord. Give us all our many sins.